music playing. You could do an intro. You have to wait for me.
Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
All right.
Try it again.
1, 2. Hello. Sounds a little better.
Okay. Well, you're here. I'm there. Or I'm here and you're there. I don't know which. But last week we had the Charlotte County Boat Show. And unless Robert and I are actually in the same place at the same time, it's pretty hard to do one of these.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
Yeah, it's... People say, how come you didn't do a fishing report? Because Robert and I have to sit in the same place for an hour to do this.
Right.
And this is our fourth attempt. We've tried sitting down. The fishing license machine went down. It just, no matter what. So, we're going to try it again.
Yeah, an hour. Really? Like 4 hours? Because of the...
What are you talking
the
about?
The pauses.
Oh, yeah, it sometimes takes us hours and hours to get this done. This is a recording, obviously, and it has a pause button, which we have to use quite often. So, anyway, but we were at the Charlotte County Boat Show last week. Had a real good time with that. Met a lot of nice people. Made one mad. I was argumentative mood, I guess, but it is when you hear somebody and you make what you would think is a fairly substantial argument, and they're like, you know, like, go screw yourself. I don't care at this point. You know, I've run into that a few times lately where somebody asked me a question, well, will there be fish in this area? And I said, for now, but they're all going to push out once the rain starts. It gets real hot. And, well, they can tolerate that, can't they? I said, yeah, but I don't, they usually move out. Well, why would they do that? They can tolerate that. I says, you're right. They tolerate it. They stay there all year. Have a good time. Goodbye. You know, when water gets too hot, too fresh, low oxygen, you know, some fish will stay, but the vast majority move out. Snook move out to go spawn. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in different areas, and unfortunately may not be what you want to hear.
Right. Sometimes the truth is a drag.
Yeah, it's hard, but... You know, and it's one of those kind of times in the history of the store where everything is going really, really well, but there's a ton of little frustrating things going on at the same time. And so I would love to be able to just kick back. And every once in a while, I sit back, I get a shot of something very special from off my shelf and pick something very nice. And I sit there and I think how wonderful everything is.
Yeah.
And then I've got to go back out the door or get back on the phone. And, you know, it's if it wasn't for all these little things, I mean, this would be just such an amazing time. Think about it. Right now up north, it's either raining or snowing or blizzard or cloudy or whatever. And we're down here and the weather's awesome. We're going to have a few chilly days, but we got, what, two?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be like 77, then one day is going to be 70, and the other day is going to be in the high 60s, and then it goes back into the high 70s again, or even in the low 80s. And, you know, the weather's nice, the fishing's good. Is it great? I wouldn't say great, but some people are having really great times out there.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say the average person fishing is finding good fishing. I don't think, you know... unless you're very unlucky, you're finding bad. But good fishing and, you know, a few getting great, a few getting poor, but the average person is going to find some good fishing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing is, it's been so warm. Everybody's, well, last year at this time, I was doing this, and it's like, well, that was last year, you know, the temperature's
humans
different.
Humans are calendar-oriented.
Yes.
Their clock, their calendar... That's what they expect to be able to follow.
Right.
And I've dove on quite a few reefs, man-made and natural. I have yet to see a calendar hanging on there.
Right, exactly.
I could be wrong, but, you know, I don't remember there's a calendar on any of the reefs. Fish go by water temp, air pressure, salinity, food availability, but I don't see
one.
Never saw one that said, oh my God, it's the, What? It's the 18th of January. Man, we got to get out of here. I got to be home by, you know, the first week of February.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You know, I had a person tell me they saw a school of big redfish offshore, which I've never this time of year heard of, like, oversized redfish.
But they're there.
Yep. You know, so it's the fish are temperature, food, photo period, moon phase. That's what they're about. That's what kind of dictates how they're going to move around.
Photo period is how much sunlight goes on during the course of a day and how intense it is.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, you know, photo period's a pretty weird word for...
That's true.
The English language as it sits now consists of 200-300 words, where it's actually made up of thousands.
Right.
But 200-300 words is about what people use. So you got to kind of explain the photo period every once in a while.
True.
All right. Peace River system. The river's still doing okay with fish up there. Seeing small redfish in Shell Creek, some snapper, got a fairly decent snook population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been even a few juvenile tarpon rolling around lately, and I had one guy that actually saw a couple of bigger tarpon and hooked one up actually by your house out in front of the docks there in front of Harbor Heights. And he was pretty excited about that because he actually saw fish and said, I'm going to concentrate here for a little bit, and started casting around and put one in the air. So that's always fun to hear. And then the couple guys have been getting some bigger snook way, way upriver, like almost to Avon Park material. But those are, I think, most of those are year-round resident fish, I think, when they're that far up. But it's always hard to tell. Be fun to tag some of those fish to see what they really do.
I would really believe that they would move around a bit up there.
Yeah.
Up and down the river and stuff with water flow, temperature, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, they're going to hang up in that area. Snooks are homebody, but that big, they're going to have that spawn urge to get out of there.
Okay. I guess I can see that. I'd still be curious because, I mean, some of those fish just look so incredibly different to the point where it's like, do they develop that because of the area and the environment that they're staying in forever kind of thing? Or is it just an oddity?
Yeah, don't know.
Just scratch your head a little bit.
Things that make you go, what the heck?
Yeah.
Okay, I-75.
Been actually a couple guys got some whiting there the other day. So first I've gotten a report of that, and then there's also been a few black drum, a couple of redfish on the northbound side, and then there's been a handful of snook around the pilings themselves. Most of the snook have been on the smaller side, but they're at least bending a rod and having a good time.
Okay. That takes us down to the 41 bridge.
That's been all over the map. Some whiting, a few trout, ladyfish, been some jacks coming through there sporadically, but most of those jacks have been on the smaller side in that 1 to 3 pound range. Snook at night, been a few juvenile tarpon rolling around at night, and even a couple of redfish have been caught over there off that new park there. And then a couple of guys have actually caught a couple of small baby bull sharks. Which those are always fun little surprise.
Yeah. Lashley pier?
A couple of mangrove snapper, a couple of trout, a few small sheep's head, nothing of any real good size, but at least a few sheep's head there. And then a guy caught several snook walking the seawall along the by the power lines there, and he was happy because one of them was his very first snook, and then he ended up catching two or three, I think he said.
I was trying to tell a guy who was actually a good fisherman, you know, he knew how to fish, he knew all that stuff, and he's out there acting like he never held a rod in his life. And I said, walk out on Lashley Pier, go out about a good cast from shore, and cast back at the rocks as you walk out. They're right there on your right-hand side. You know that's going to hold fish.
Right.
I said, you understand how all these fish work and everything. Look at that and tell me there's not a lot of fish there. He came back in and went, yeah, it was kind of suck I had to get a lesson like that. He said, but I'm catching fish. He said, it's okay. But he's telling me this and that, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm looking at him going, you know better.
Right.
You know, you're not learning to fish. And, you know, okay, you're going to start here. And people that are learning to fish have different progressions they go through.
Right.
And they're not ready to be pitching at rocks and stuff like that, getting hung up and frustrated. Sometimes it's easier just to let them cast wherever they want to cast and catch a few fish here and there and kind of build into it. Because yeah. A lot of times the places you catch fish are some of the most frustrating places to fish. The catching's good, but the fishing's not easy.
Right.
So letting people build to that point and walk themselves up and get kind of used to it. You know, that's kind of the proper thing to do sometime. And but when somebody's, they already know how to fish, they know what they're supposed to be doing and everything, and then they're telling you all this crazy stuff, and you're like, what the heck are you talking about? I said, I know you. I've known you for 5 years. You know how to fish. What's wrong with you? And, oh, okay. What?
It's pretty funny.
I've done it. I've gone out and just made every mistake in the world when I go fishing.
Absolutely. Walk out there and go, what am I, amateur day?
Yeah, my first day with my rod and reel, upside down, reeling backwards.
Right.
You know? So, Bayshore Pier.
They've been catching a couple of small bull sharks. One was a sandbar shark that was about a 5-footer. And, what's his name? Ron. Ron's caught 2 triple tail out there, uncut ladyfish while shark fishing. And so there's been a few oddities around. Haven't heard of anything else, whiting or trout or anything else, but.
Well, you wouldn't if those guys are out there fishing with, you know, chunks of ladyfish and stuff. That's not fish you're going to catch on it. So.
Yeah, but ladyfish or triple tail usually isn't a thought of.
Depends how big they are.
It's a pretty good size if they're going to take cut ladyfish. Mm-hmm. Always surprising, though.
Always shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking and disturbing. Shocking and disturbing. No, it's they're big fish they want to eat, but it's not going to be a 14-inch. It's going to be an 18 or 20-inch that'll take a bait like that.
Right.
Port Charlotte canals.
Depending on which canal you're in, really good. My canal, pretty lousy. Spring Lake, Pelham Waterway, Ackerman Waterway, a lot of snook. Few jacks. Still a lot of guys catching sam brim. We got the juvenile tarpon have been pretty active in Spring Lake. And then there's also been a handful of redfish around the beach complex, along with a bunch of snook. And most of those snook that are being caught over there are either being caught on shrimp or the Strike King. I've had 3 different guys come in and buy the Strike King. Why can I never remember it? The rib one that you and Carl used.
Oh, yeah, the Rage Swimmer.
Rage Swimmer. Yeah, so they've been doing fairly well on those over there. One guy said there was a bunch of baby crabs on the full moon swimming through at like 2 o'clock in the morning and the snook were popping on them and he managed to catch a couple. And these guys are throwing all their lures and going, these snook are blowing up all over, we can't catch any. He took one of those little crabs, put it on, threw it back out there and caught a snook. And they're like, how'd you do that? He's like, I just saw these crabs swimming. Seemed to make sense.
Yep.
It's pretty funny.
Well, the thing about it is crab shaped lures are really not very good.
No.
I don't know why, but we've got like the Savage crab. People buy it because it looks so cool.
Yeah.
And out of all the crab lures we've sold, the only one I've ever seen catch fish semi-consistently is that, what's that W1?
Oh, the CW crab?
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, no, you're talking about the Weston crab.
Weston crab, yeah.
Yeah.
The Weston crab. All of the other crab baits, they all come out, they go this and that, and next, the gulp one, all of them. I've never had any luck with them. The Weston is the only one that sort of actually works and catches fish. All the rest of them, and I think it's just because it's little.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was any bigger, I don't think it would work. But outside of the Weston, you know, the other ones look better. They're cool.
Right.
And they just don't work. But, you know, if I saw all those crabs floating by, I'd be looking in my box because I know I'm going to have a crab body in there somewhere of some description.
Absolutely.
You know, you just can't help yourself. They look so good. Yeah. You got to buy one.
Yeah.
But this is a case where the fishermen like it a lot better than the fish like it. So, Elgin Bean Pier, what's going on at Iljo?
Oh, the daytime, they've actually been catching a few more mangrove snapper. The sheep's head bite has been, I wouldn't say banner, but the fish are pretty good quality. It's been so warm, they just haven't been great numbers, but they're bigger fish. 15, 16, 17 inch sheep's head being caught there. There has been some very good snook fishing at night there, and the ladyfish and some juvenile tarpon at night also. Haven't heard much for trout of any consistency off of there. But definitely the snook and the juvie tarpon have been kind of the hit for a few guys out there at night.
Okay. And, oh, and for those of you who ask, no, I'm not building a phone database website. I've had some estimates on it. And no, the cost of actually doing it is not so bad, but the cost of redoing the entire website to make that work, no, it's just too much labor money. So
I don't know what that is.
Labor money?
No, database, phone database.
All of the stuff that I've typed, most of that won't go over. All of the things where I have pictures and typing and all that, and they're all aligned up together, It won't, because of the program I use, it won't transfer over. You can't just put a website app thing on it.
Oh.
I would have to rebuild the entire website. And I don't even know how much longer this is going to be able to stay up, because all of the Windows 10, Windows 8, all these things, they're all designed to track everything you do. Every time you type in, Microsoft knows what you're typing, for emails, for all of the stuff. And on Windows 7 and older computers, they can't track you very well with it.
Gotcha.
But on Windows 10 and all that, everything you do is tracked. And so, little by little, they're taking the older operating systems off of the internet because they're non-trackable. And the big money in the internet turns out to be selling your personal information. What you like. Do you like red wagons, or do you like fishing poles, or do you like, you know, guitars? And every time you type in something, they're getting that information, and then they sell it to the advertisers. They go, okay, this person, you know, likes this, and so you get all the ads for it. So they don't want Windows 7, Vista, XP, all them. They're literally kicking them off the internet. And this is a Windows 7 base. I don't think it'll work on 10. I'm going to try it. If it does, we'll be able to keep going. But if I can't build it on 10, we're done.
Wow.
So
that's terrifying.
Yeah, I'd have to go to that new drag and drop where everybody looks all the same.
Right. That's terrible.
Yeah, well, all in the name of corporate money. So,
yeah.
Hopefully it hangs in for a few more years. I just noticed I wrote Smook, S-M-O-O-K.
Nice.
A few weeks ago. All right, Myakka River area.
Oh, well, let's see. They began some redfish and some smook.
Smook?
Yeah.
All right, hang on a minute. We got a question coming, Paul. Okay, we're talking about the Myakka River area.
Well, we got the snook and some redfish above El Jobin heading up towards the 41 bridge. I've had several people in from the Gulf Cove area that have been catching some redfish off their docks. And a couple people have been going from El Jobin and going up the river towards Snook Haven, towards I-75, and doing good on some snook up there. And then down towards the Myakka Cutoff and the Tippecanoe area, there's been a little scattering of snook and a few redfish over there too. And then throughout the center of it, there's been some jacks, a couple of bonnethead sharks, and one guy did catch two Spanish mackerel down towards the mouth by, I think he said, marker 7. He said there was some splashing activity, figured they'd be ladyfish, and ended up catching either one or two Spanish. I can't remember. So that was a pleasant surprise for him, and kind of neat this time of year up there. Goes back to that temperature thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's... I gotta spend some time cleaning this up. This is getting to be out of control. Okay, South Gulf Cove canals.
Well, guys are catching some snook trolling through there. And then, even though the bass bite has slowed down a little bit, I've had a couple of guys catch some nice bass way in the back there, and some of those around some of the cattails that are starting to finally grow back after they killed a bunch off last year with their herbicide, whatever, spraying.
Yeah, jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always funny how the environmentalists are always up in arms about all this stuff, but when people spray and kill all the weeds and kill a bunch of fish and bait and everything else, yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It makes it look nice, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty. And it doesn't make sense.
Same as everybody complains because they can see this building going up here in town. But the hundreds of homes are going to put up just by, you know, Bull and Turtle Bay back in there and all of that. Well, that's no problem because they can't see it.
Right.
Not one person protesting it, not one person upset about it, because even when you tell them, they go, oh, well, I didn't know about that, and they forget about it, because they can't see it.
And that whole, some developer came in and bought that, a big chunk of that Murdoch Village area, it's doing like 1,000 homes, and they're calling it like Westport or something like that.
Well, there used to be Northport, Southport, Eastport, and Westport. Those were what Port Charlotte was broken into.
Okay.
That was the original way Port Charlotte was done. It was Southport, just north of us, because we're actually in Charlotte Harbor.
Right.
Port Charlotte doesn't start about half a mile north of us.
Right.
And so that was actually Southport. And then Eastport was the other side going out towards I-75. Westport was actually over there where South Gulf Cove and all that is.
Okay.
There actually is a section there, Westport.
Okay.
They just never used the name before.
Gotcha.
But that's actually a real name, and it's in the right spot to be Westport.
Okay. Well, that's what somebody was talking about today. Like, it just got announced or something. Yeah. Like
what was the actual name of the West Wall?
McCoy?
Yeah, McCoy. So there was actually a town there called McCoy at one point, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just weird stuff.
It is.
But Westport was one of the proper names. Northport was Northport, and then Southport was down here, Eastport and Westport.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
And just like the sewage treatment plant used to be right there where they've got all that, businesses there on 41, where Long John Silver's was, the subway where they moved into.
Oh, okay.
Just up there where Midas and all that was, that was sewage treatment plant there. They only took that out a few years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They moved it.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Nope. Had no idea on that one.
Actually, big sign said Eastport Sewage Treatment Facility.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm.
That's cool.
Things that make you go weird.
Yeah. History is really, really cool. I just don't read it enough.
Well, I actually just saw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I forget who was telling me something, and I'm like, yeah, I dabble in history a little bit, and I said it fascinates me. And they're like, and they're telling me stuff, and I'm looking, I'm going, wow. Where did you hear that on CNN? It's like, I'm like, I'm sorry. I've read the Pioneer Diaries, and, you know, as you know, the settlers. I liked reading the old diaries and stuff, and what they did, and how they got here, and problems they had, and all that. And it's really strange what people actually believe. If somebody has an idea about something, it's easy to talk to them. But when they believe and they have a belief, forget it.
Right.
Don't talk to them. Okay. The West Wall.
Well, let's see. There's a hodgepodge over there. You got. There's been a few pompano on top of the bar. A couple guys have seen a couple of cobia over there, but unable to catch them. There's been quite a few snook, and you get more redfish as you work your way south. And if you fish in any of the creeks there, you're catching a lot of little rat reds. But if you stay on the perimeter, along the bushes, and even out on the flats with some of these lower tides that have been happening, there's been some pretty good-sized redfish from, say, 20 to upper 20s, which is, you know, a couple of years ago, you'd fish all day to try to find just a few rat reds this time of year and fish all day to catch one fish over 18 inches. So to catch several in that 20 to 28 inch range is pretty cool. And they're catching them on shrimp, cut ladyfish, pinfish, and cut pinfish. So it's been pretty decent over there. It's amazing how much that has grown back too since the hurricane.
Yeah,
I know it's been years, but still.
What I gotta do is, I guess I'm gonna have to go back and get my commercial fishing license again and get the. The only reason I don't do it is I don't want to do the monthly reports. Because if I go back, I get my RS and my SP and the wholesale license. I already have all the retail licenses. But the weird part about it is I can't go out and get a license to catch it and then sell it to people. My catching license has to sell it to my wholesale license, which then sells it to my retail license.
That's a lot of paperwork.
And it's got to be done every month.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Or you get big fines.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So I got to fill out trip tickets and send them in each month. And, oh, my God.
That just doesn't sound like fun.
Mm-mm. So, that's why I haven't done it. I've been avoiding the paperwork.
Yeah, don't blame you.
But I guess I'm going to have to. There's no one else to go get bait for us anymore. I'm going to have to do it myself again.
Yeah, that's a bear.
Well, if I'm going to do it, I think I'm going to go ahead and get my shrimping and the whole bit all in one.
Yeah.
Because I can get the time and the hours and all that kind of stuff and just go full boat and get my own shrimp and pinfish and everything else again for a while.
Yeah.
Because if I went out on Tuesday nights every week or, you know, Tuesdays, I could, that we'd have more shrimp for Wednesday and stuff. Because that's the day our shrimpers don't run.
Right.
If I could get pinfish and shrimp and all that Tuesdays, you know, leave here, go out Tuesday night and catch them.
Yeah.
So just do it overnight. I just hate it, though. God, yeah. It's a lot of work.
It is.
I'm getting pretty old to be out in a boat all night long.
Yeah.
But it would either keep me young, cure me, or kill me. One or the other.
This is true.
Make me stronger, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Oh, let's see. Cape Hayes, that whole area has been a few pompano, scattering of trout. Some ladyfish, a couple of bluefish, a couple of Spanish mackerel, and then there has been a couple of bonnethead sharks, but not any consistency. They just show up in little groups, and then they're gone for several days. And then over there in Muddy Bay, been some redfish and snook, like fairly decent amount of them. both right along the bushes on the outside, going from Muddy Bay over to Turtle Bay and up inside Muddy Bay itself. One guy saw a sawfish in there the other day. He said it was probably about a 4 or 5 footer, kind of just slowly swimming along. Thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're neat to see swimming. I mean, I've never personally, I mean, I've seen them when I was a little kid, but I've never seen one in the harbor swimming.
Sawfish swimming along?
Yeah, I've never.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. You know, it seems like a lot of people have, but I haven't had the opportunity to.
Talked to Chuck, and I said, I want my kayak boat.
Yeah.
So it should be done in March.
Okay, cool. Is that what he was in here for?
Mm-mm. We're going to start selling all the stainless steel fish that are on the building. He's finally got it back where he can start producing the stainless steel fish again.
Cool. Nice. I had two different people compliment on that today. Jay Withers' wife was in here, and she came back inside. She's like, I know I've noticed them, but I guess I never noticed how cool they looked because she was parked out back.
Mm-hmm.
And she came walking back in, and she's like, these are amazing. And then she was asking where he got them done and all that stuff. Then another customer, while we were standing there, he's like, I was looking at these the other day, and it looked really good from the road, but they look like a totally different color right now than when I drove by the other day. And I'm like, yeah, it depends on which way the sun's hitting them. They look like a gunmetal gray, and then the next minute they're bright silver. I mean,
well, it's because of my secret.
Mm-hmm.
My 1x2.
Yeah.
Yeah, without the 1x2, they're just kind of letters.
Yeah.
Or fish or whatever, but
yeah,
how you mount them is everything.
Yeah, just kind of neat.
Yeah, I did one by accident because I screwed it up mounting it and went, wow, that's pretty cool. And so then I had to take them all down and redo all of them. It's like, so literally every one was put up there at least 3 times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because once I put them up and I started shaping them correctly and all that,
yeah,
well, then they didn't look right in the grouping, so I would have to take one and move it over here and move the other one. There's probably 2 or 3 out of the dozens of them up there that I only did twice. So, all right, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay are our next victims.
That place has definitely by far been the happening spot the last 10 days, maybe even 2 weeks. A lot of redfish scattered throughout both of them and even out front, you know. And then there's been quite a few snook scattered in there, a handful of trout, handful of bonnet head sharks, and even a couple other unidentifiable sharks that people are seeing swimming around through there. One guy had one chase his trout close to the boat, saw a torpedo and got all excited, then realized it was a shark and kind of made him flinch both times because what's that gonna eat it? Oh, it's a shark. You know, kind of one of those things. Had a couple guys getting some nice sheep's head up inside there. Around the mangroves and up underneath the shacks themselves. So there's been kind of a good mixed variety going on in there.
Okay, let's move on to Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
The only thing I've gotten off of there was a couple people told me about some of the sheep's head they've been catching in some very small mangrove snapper. Or now it's been a little on the quiet side.
Yeah, a few Spanish running around over in there, guys, yeah. Telling me.
Okay.
So, some Spanish mackerel, sheephead. Gasparilla Sound.
Let's see. You got snook and redfish all on the shoreline, along with some fairly big sheep's head. And then there's been some pretty good sheep's head on some of those little oyster patches. And then the handful of trout, ladyfish, a few bluefish, all along the deeper grass flats throughout that whole area from, I guess, Sandfly north up to the trestle itself. And then there's also been a couple of sandbars and blacktip sharks being caught out there closer towards the intercoastal, but on the grass flats, just the deeper parts, like the 6 to 7 feet of water. And the black tips have been pretty decent size from what I've been hearing in the couple pictures that I've seen. There's been some 4 and 5 foot black tips being caught out there. which those are extremely fun because they jump and twirl and spin and, you know, basically a tarpon with teeth.
Okay. Placida Pier, Trestle.
Lots of sheep's head.
Gasparilla Pass.
Lots of sheep's head, a few pompano. There has been a few tarpon cruising through there, and most of those have been adult-sized tarpon, like 100-pounders.
Oh, yeah. Danny's got three spots in the harbor. He won't tell me that he's catching nice tarpon.
Yeah.
So we might even have a tarpon report this week.
Right. We actually kind of do. What else has been going on out there? Same thing. There's been a few sandbar sharks and a couple of black tips being caught out there.
Okay, let's see, hopefully this still is functional.
Yep.
Alright. Brings us up to Lemon Bay.
A lot of redfish up in there, getting a lot of good reports of redfish around any of the islands, and then a handful of decent snook. And then there's a lot of sheep's head along anything that's got docks or pilings. Even some of the heavy mangrove shorelines are holding some pretty decent sheep's head. And a few puppy drum, you know, little small black drum that are in that 12 to 20 inch range. And then, of course, there's been a lot of talk about all the lizard fish. Guys have been doing really well on lizard fish in there. Pretty funny. Throwing soft plastics, shrimp.
Yeah, they're just hitting everything.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Usually it's the puffer fish that the guys are complaining about. Nope, it's lizard fish right now.
The first couple you catch, you go, wow, these are cool, because they look like a snake. You know, they got the diamond-shaped head and all the little teeth all along their jaw.
Right.
And they're really cool. But by the time you've done about 15 of them,
yeah,
you're like, yeah, this is not so cool.
Yeah, I'm over it.
I'm over it. Englewood Pier.
Let's see. The Englewood Pier and the Tom Adams Bridge have had some pretty good sheep's head on it. A few pompano have been being caught off around the pilings of the Tom Adams Bridge itself. And then there's been a few sharks, the sandbars, the black tips, even a couple of bonnet heads. I guess everyone kind of stopped fishing for snook out there lately because I haven't had much for reports on them.
All right. Venice.
Venice is really good on the sheep's head and at the jetties right now. And then down towards Casperson's Beach, I guess they've been getting some bluefish, some whiting, and a couple of flounder right down there, along with a few sheep's head. There's that small rock pile that comes up fairly close to the beach, and they've been concentrating around that.
And what all was there?
Some bluefish, some sheep's head. What the heck else was he catching there?
You said flounder, sheep head, bluefish.
Couple of flounder. There was something else he was catching. Dang it.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to keep up.
Sorry. A few whiting. But the... Just gone.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Still decent fishing down there, and it's all around those rocks, mostly.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, out into the Gulf of Mexico we go.
The Gulf of Mexico, there's been a few really spectacular days. So there is pods of bait fish from a quarter mile out to 25 miles out there. Spanish mackerel, schools of ladyfish. There's been some king mackerel out there free jumping. And then the bottom fishing for the red grouper has been pretty darn good at 20 to 30 miles out. A lot of guys doing well in like that 80 to 85 feet of water. Seems to be a little bit better depth wise. And then they've been getting a few big amberjack out there, along with a few sharks coming up and trying to eat their stuff. One guy came in with a picture yesterday of about a 60 pound amberjack that he got, but it was missing the last
I saw
quarter.
I saw that one.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. So there have been some pretty good fish out there. And then the grunts and snappers, porgies, doing pretty decent at like 15 miles out. And lean snappers back open, so some of the guys are pretty happy about that. So if you just want groceries and just have a good time on some light tackle, they're fun.
What's that?
The lean snapper.
Oh.
Now that they're back open. For what, their whole, what, 2-week closure that was going to make such a big difference?
Let's just... You know, it's the same as people are telling me that, you know, oh, this snook and red closure, you know, we've got more 20-inch redfish around than we've ever had. And I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
You get so tired of listening to it. Again, it goes along to belief. Why do anything in reality when you can just believe stuff to be true?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny. That guy was saying the same thing earlier today. I'm like, well... Yeah, I guess. I'm sure that 6-inch snook from last year is now 30 inches that you're talking about now. And you kind of looked at me.
Snook grow about 7 inches in a year. Redfish grow about 14 inches in a year, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Trout grow about 7 inches a year. So, but it takes a year.
Yeah.
And the guy said, well, we wouldn't have them if they were open. And I said, you're catching 16, 18-inch redfish. And I said, no one would be keeping those anyway. Whether they were open or closed.
Right.
You're not allowed to keep redfish that small. They have to be over 18 and less than 27. And you said yours were all under 18, you know, very close, but under. I said, so who would have kept those anyway? Well, that has nothing to do with it. You know, this is a good thing. I'm like, okay.
Yep. Yeah. One of those funny moments.
But it'll be a year in May since it's been closed. No, January. So yeah. It's been a year right now.
Yeah.
So the redfish would be anywhere from 12 to 14 inches, the ones that were spawned last year.
Right.
So... But it wouldn't matter if they were open or closed. You're still not allowed
still
to
can't keep
one.
Them.
Right.
Right.
Doing good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, you know I should bottom fish for pompano. I don't know why I don't. But whenever you see pompano, they're always literally nose down eating off the bottom.
Yeah.
But then they school up and run. But their primary feeding thing is to nose down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Yet, so often we forget that.
Yeah, that's true.
You usually, you know, you're running lure through the water for them. We're putting it under a bobber so that when they school by, they hit it.
Right.
It's, you know, but whenever they stop and mingle, they go to the bottom to feed.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just one of those things I know, but I never think about.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is, but little things like that sometimes I get caught in my head that, God, you're dumb. You know, you know this, and you're just not bright enough to bring it out to the front of your brain. You know, I can be so dense. It's like, you know, I've got all the sharpness of a 2x4 end. You know?
I think we all have those moments without a doubt.
Well, take me into Boca Grande Pass. Tell me wonderful stories.
Oh, let's see. We've got been a few tarpon being hooked in there. There has been some decent mangrove snapper bite going on. There has been some pompano on the outer edge of that channel on the north side. And then there's been a lot of sandbar sharks and big black tips being caught through there. And then the shorebound guys right there have been doing sheep's head, pompano, a few whiting, a couple oversized redfish, and even a few snook. So it's been pretty fishy out there in general. I wouldn't say spectacular, but...
Good. Very good.
Good and weird because of the oversized redfish and snook. I mean, who catches snook in somewhat numbers out there in January? Under normal situations, it's just kind of cool, odd, all at the same time.
Yep. And, you know, 2 years ago in January, the rivers were flooding. We had so much rain.
Right.
This year, we get a little bit of rain, but not a lot. Last year, I don't think we had any rain in January. And every year is its own little discovery. The more you try and make sense out of it by the month or by the day, you know, if you go out and go fishing, make a note of, you know, what you caught and then what the weather was like or had been like, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's not a total, okay, I caught it in January and just expect them to be there.
Right, absolutely.
And when you're fishing in Florida, you've got to be more specific.
Details. Very much details.
Look at Tennessee, Southern Illinois, and those areas. Some years they've got snow blowing through. Other years they got rain coming through in January.
Right.
They're in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I never thought about that because they're like right at that borderline.
Yeah, that whole right middle part Mason-Dixon thing right there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Captiva Pass.
Been some redfish, some sheep's head. A couple of tarpon have been seen. What else we got going on? A few Spanish mackerel, a few ladyfish, and some bluefish. And then there's also been the same with the sandbar sharks and the black tips down in that area, too. Like in actual targetable numbers. You're not going to get great numbers, but they're quality fish. You know, 4 to 5 foot black tips, 5.5 to 6 foot sandbar sharks. Fun fighting, and you're going to be fishing for 2 to 4 fish, I'd say, in an outing rather than multiple numbers.
All right, 17th Street.
If you guys land-based fishing for sharks, they're catching some sandbars and black tips.
Okay. Middle Beach?
Middle Beach I haven't had anything from. No, I take that back. The lady was catching some small jacks and a couple of pompano.
Alright. Sanibel.
I've gotten nothing down there. I've gotten nothing in a few weeks down there.
No, we had snook under the bridge and stuff on 4th.
Was it?
It was before that. We didn't have a lot for a long time.
Maybe I got the chance to talk to D on that day. Matt Lachey is really good on sheep's head right now. A lot of sheep's head, a few snook, and then the surrounding area of Matt Lachey, they're getting a lot of redfish. Some pretty decent trout, but they're extremely isolated. You're getting into a little group of fish and then nothing for a mile, and then another group of fish, kind of all over the map there with the trout part of it. But the sheep's head have been the real big talk down there, and decent ones, 16 17 18 inchers. We've had quite a few guys buying the fish bites, which is kind of cool to see it finally catching on really well for the guys trying to do sheep's head.
Yeah, we're out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Pine Island Sound.
Oh, Pine Island Sound. The redfish, some good quality redfish, and a lot of rat reds. They're kind of mixed together. Talking to Brian today, and he's catching them all over the place under the bushes, mostly on shrimp with some pinfish, and then he's also catching some nice snook. A couple other guys have been doing good on some pretty big snook up there towards Yuseppa. And then the all the sandbar sharks and some of the black tips that are just cruising all those deeper troughs, catching them during the day and at night down there. And there has been some schools of sheep's head in some of those deeper mangrove shorelines.
Okay. And Jug Creek, Boquilla.
Boquilla's got a lot of sheep's head being caught there, both off the pier and along the shoreline. And there's been a handful of pompano and a couple of snook and redfish also along the shoreline. And even off the pier itself for the pompano part of it. I've had like three different guys in here in the past 2 weeks that have been going down there fishing semi-regularly that are having a pretty good time with it. Guess they got a little social event because there's like one guy goes down there twice a week to hang out with four different guys that he used to know in the army. And now they're starting to get a little gathering of a couple guys that just hang around and fish and BS.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind
of
cool.
We donated a bunch of money to that Vietnam Wall and their welcome home event and stuff. So we're going to use the big golf cart. I'm going to have Mike and Greg decorate it and take it down and do the parade.
Oh, there you go. That'll be cool. When's that?
Sometime in March.
Okay.
I mean, we got Patrick Seville coming to the store here very, very soon. It's on the website.
Next weekend, I think.
Next Friday, I think.
I think so.
But that's going to be a great time.
Yeah, it
and
is.
That's one you really want to see. I'm going to call Patrick on Monday and, you know, finalize the times.
Nice.
So hopefully he's in the country.
Right.
All right. Burnt store, Two Pines.
The snook and redfish all down the entire shoreline. Anything mangroves, just pitch in there and work it real slow with some shrimp. Danny's been catching some nicer redfish down closer to Two Pines. And then there's also been pompano on top of the burnt store bar mixed in with some ladyfish. A couple of short undersized flounder. So, good mixed variety of stuff out there. One guy did catch two lizard fish over there, too, on top of that bar. Kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's just entertaining when they pop up in random spots. I know they come in when the salinity's high enough, but...
What's the weird one, you know, the invasive species, lionfish?
Yeah.
Now, we know we have some lionfish around, but nobody's seen them. Nobody's talking about them.
Uh-uh. Nobody's talking about them at all. I mean, I know they're out there, but I haven't heard of any being caught lately.
Could be because we have large numbers of Goliath grouper here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they help control some of that.
It's weird that a Goliath grouper can eat a lionfish and doesn't bother them at all.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you see videos of them eating 3-4 foot sharks alive.
Right.
Anything they can eat a live shark should be able to handle a lionfish.
You would think so.
They've got poison on their spine, so you would just think that now they'd swallow them and they would get them, but nope, they can eat all the lionfish they want.
Must not faze them a bit. Well, one of their favorite, one of their natural foods is actually burrfish, which is pufferfish. And pufferfish are extremely toxic to eat, you know, any of the organs.
Right.
Doesn't faze them.
Huh.
So maybe there's something to that.
Trying to swallow coffee.
Or they just got a tingly feeling all the time.
Yeah, well.
That's like one of the side effects. It's
been about 20 years since I've had that tingly feeling all over inside. All right. East side.
East side's hodgepodge. Lots of snook, handful of redfish. The redfish have been assorted sizes from rat reds to 30-inch redfish. There has been a few even juvenile tarpon on the inside of the bar over there. And then in Pirate Harbor, there's been quite a few juvenile tarpon that guys have actually been hooking. Heard of a few pompano scattered from Pirate Harbor all the way up to Alligator Creek. The weird part is I'm still not hearing about the bonnet heads. It's just been super inconsistent, and usually this is a hotbed.
How many babies do they have? 2, 3, 6?
Up to 6.
So, you know, but it got real popular to fish for them for a while, so they might have got their numbers knocked down.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because they're stupid, they're easy to catch.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it things like lionfish, which are horribly invasive and everything, are very hard to get on a hook and line, but something like that, you know, oh, look at that shrimp. Okay, I'll eat that.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
You know, I used to say, well, you know, they say people, you know, have this great effect on some of this stuff, but, you know, we fish the hell out of different stuff, and but, you know, until somebody comes up with a really good rig for, you know, a lionfish, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I think the best rig, if I was down in the Keys and I was going to fish for them, I'd use like a sabiki rig with all tipped with pieces of peeled shrimp meat.
Right.
You know, so I just had a ton of pieces of shrimp out there, you know, one hook, you know, one sinker and six hooks all tipped with the pieces of shrimp. They would eat that.
Yeah.
That would be a good rig to catch them up with.
Be worth a try.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the main reasons why they don't get caught as often is because they're a very slow swimmer, and I think everything else beats them to the punch.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking just like six hooks laid down on the bottom, you know, with
right.
pieces of shrimp meat on it, so that, yeah.
Yeah, it might work.
All right. Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek has got the pompano at the mouth of it, and even a few inside. Been a handful of jacks, and a lot of guys are catching some mangrove snapper and snook underneath all the docks as they're working their way up there towards the burnt store aisles and past the restaurant and the boat yards. And then inside the burnt store aisles themselves are getting some nice big black drum, a few bigger jacks, and a handful of snook. But the black drum have been really barking or grunting a lot lately because I've had several customers coming in saying it's pretty amazing how loud they really are.
Oh, everybody loves it when they first hear it. It's so cool, you know, and after a couple of weeks go by, this is not so cool
yeah.
anymore. I can't sleep.
Yeah, it gets old, I'm sure, quickly.
Yeah. It's just weird they don't do that behind your house. You would think
very,
they would.
Very rarely do I hear them back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
You hear everything. I mean, you can't see anything, but you can hear yeah. everything.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
All right, Ponce de Leon.
Oh, let's see. Black drum, sheep's head, some small mangrove snapper. Still been a few jacks coming and going through there, and quite a few snook of assorted sizes. Out front, a couple guys have been messing around waiting, and they've been catching a couple of small pompano and some small jacks out front there. And then I've heard of one black tip shark that the guy saw swim by him while he was out there waiting. He's assuming it was a black tip, but I'm just gonna guess it was just some kind of shark swimming by. Could be anything. It was enough to make him back up a little bit into shallower water.
It's funny how a shark will do that to you. You're sitting out there, you're waiting, you're catching these fish. And I think the most intimate contact I had was one bull shark who actually tried to bump me out of the way. Wasn't trying to bite me, but he literally body checked me because I was working with a fish, trying to get a fish off. He wanted the fish, and I was in the way, so he just kind of slammed me, you know, tried to knock me over out of the way
yeah.
so he could get to the fish. It was weird. It wasn't biting or, you know, it was just move, you
yeah,
know.
That's mine, and you can't have it.
I want that, you know, move over. You know, I was like, okay. And then I turned my fishing pole around and whacked him a few times with it. You know, when you hit him with the tip, it doesn't do much good, but when you grab that rod about half the way down, turn around and smack him with the handle end and the reel on it,
yeah.
they leave.
Yeah.
Try and poke him with the tip, it doesn't work as good. But I turned around, I hit him, whacked him. I was mad.
Yeah.
A little scared, a little mad, but mostly just, you know, come on, you know. You know, I would have let it go in another couple of seconds. You could have had it.
You've got the coolness of Mark Nichols. I mean, I remember years ago seeing Mark Nichols in a fishing show, and it was wintertime, and they were in, like, the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
Chest waders on, and he's up to the point where he's about ready to take water over his chest waders, catching trout, holding his arms up, reeling in trout, and him and the other guy, whatever, they're laughing, giggling, having a good time. And they're panned on him as he's pulling this trout up to his chest, and he's chest deep in water, so he's starting to reach down to it, and all of a sudden the water literally explodes in front of him, splashes him, gets him wet, and it was a shark trying to take that trout right away from him. And he just stood there and started laughing, like, oh, well, I guess he wants it more than I do. And then they let it go and just kept on fishing and never really blinked an eye.
Yeah, well, the shark came after him and wanted the trout.
Yeah, I'm back on the boat. Chest deep water, dark water, and something blows up in front of your chest. Man,
I get scared of sharks. 100% I'm afraid of sharks. When I get in the water, if I'm swimming around, I'm afraid of sharks. I don't know why. When I'm wade fishing and stuff, I don't have that same reaction to them. But under other circumstances, I can get to the point of terrified real quick.
Yeah, he didn't really flinch or jump or freak out. He's just like, huh? Oh, well, yeah, let's keep
Mark
fishing.
Mark Nichols
another
is like
cast.
The coolest guy. I'm literally. I mean, Mark is Mark, and if you're a shark, I mean, I don't care what you do. Mark Nichols is going to be Mark Nichols. And
I'm going to have to ask him about that story next time when he does come down for one of the seminars, because that just blew me away. And, I mean, that was easily 20 years ago on one of the TV programs.
And I am, like, the biggest Mark Nichols fan in the world. You know what I mean? It's hard because, you know, I'm consider Mark and I good friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but every once in a while, I still get that giddy little, you know, groupie thing going on. You know, this is Mark Nichols, for God's sakes. You know, and I'm sitting here talking to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's really kind of cool. And I know it's Mark, and, you know, we've known him forever now and all that. You know who I miss? We were thinking about the other day. Jose Wahibi.
Yeah.
Remember him yelling at us?
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny.
Robert and I are at this big buying show. And, I mean, and this one had a big outdoor thing with a lot of tables, you know, where the building had kind of an indentation in it, plaza, patio area, whatever. And we're sitting over there, we're having a drink and a smoke, and all of a sudden, somebody stands up on a chair, and across like 50 people, and, you know, cover your ears if you're a little kid, he goes, Frank, you bitch, you're cheating on me in that quantum booth, you know, because he was working for Shimano at the time.
Right.
You're cheating on me, and you're cheating me, and he's screaming over the top of everybody. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Holy Jose. I mean, and everybody, you know, because they're all trying to be businesslike and all that. And there's, you know, three people at the shows that were never quite in the business category. And that's Mark Nichols, Jose Wahibi, and me. You know.
Yeah.
But boy, I miss that guy.
Yeah, he was a good time. Always polite, but funny, and just having a good time.
Truly a great person.
Yeah.
And, you know, how lucky are we that we've been able to meet these people and interact and just have a good time? And it's like I try and tell people, Doug and Mary will be here in February. And if it wasn't for them, most of the people they see on TV would not be on TV. These are the legend makers. They're not the ones out there with their face all over the thing and doing all that with the big egos and the glory. But if it wasn't for them, and to have that much power, that much influence, and to be that laid back, that cool, that warm and friendly, is just a very rare thing.
Absolutely.
So if you, you know, try and make it for Patrick Sabille, the craziest Frenchman you ever knew, but, you know, you got to make it for Doug and Mary.
Yeah, you'll absolutely.
Shake the hands of two walk-around living legends, Doug and his wife Mary, and, yeah, you kick yourself if you don't. It's kind of like, if you could have met Elvis Presley's manager, the one who made Elvis great.
Right.
This is like most of the fishing industry they made great.
Yeah.
So, anyway, PGI Canals.
The main thing going on in there is a lot of
and
guys.
Yes, I'm starstruck. It's Doug and Mary. I'm, you know, 13-year-old girl wanting an autograph, you know. So, PGI canals.
A lot of guys are in there targeting sheep's head. There's actually been quite a few sheep's head hanging around everybody's docks and swimming along the seawalls in there. And it helps. It's their fish of the month in the club, so a lot of people are excited about trying for them. There's also been
I went to type decent, and it came out D-E-O-C-K.
What?
I have no idea. I was typing D-E-C-E-N-T. I got D-E-O-C-K.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah, alright. God. Takes me back to some idiot think I'm making racial remarks about fish. What freaking morons.
Yeah.
I'm just stupid. I'm not a racist, but I am stupid.
Yeah.
But not that way.
Jeez.
Alright. Gilchrist Pier.
Nothing.
And Navigator Creek Reef.
There's been a few sheep's head on there and some small mangrove snapper. One guy hooked a decent sized shark that he actually managed to get close to the boat before it finally broke his mono leader. And then there's been a couple of Spanish mackerel out there. Josh said when he was out there the other day there wasn't much happening, but a bunch of that rolling moss had moved on to it, but I've had some pretty consistent sheep's head reports, so.
Isn't it funny about everybody forgets that moss comes through?
Yeah.
Every year it's, oh my God, what happened to the water? Yeah. There's all this moss out there. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's, you know, normal. Every time it gets cold, the moss kind of dies off, the grass dies off, and a bunch of it floats up to the surface, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it, too, is our boats are made to run very, very shallow. And we run a lot of, you know, a lot across the flats. Well, we're not digging into the bottom. But you lose 4 inches of water from where you were, and you do give the grass a haircut.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, you're trimming the grass down. It's like running over with a lawnmower. You're not digging into the bottom. You don't see roots, but you see a lot of pieces of grass.
Definitely.
So, you know, I don't know if that hurts. We run the lawnmower on the lawn. What the heck's the difference?
Right.
Not sure. Kill the grass. All right, deep holes in the harbor.
I got nothing in those.
Should I put possible Spanish?
I would say possible Spanish and possible black tips and sandbar sharks.
Okay. Because there ought to be sharks and Spanish mackerel out there.
Should be.
It should be there. I think because of the wind and everything, nobody's actually, going through that area and trying for anything.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a ton of bass hitting right now. We're into the freshwater reports.
Yeah.
Anything you got bass-wise? You know, it's crazy how much bass assassin we're selling. How many of the Yamamotos. I forget. What's that other one? The lizard. Zoom. We're going through a bunch of gambler, but Zoom is crazy.
Zoom and the bass assassin has been killing it lately.
The bass assassin's been the one I've noticed.
Yeah.
Because we always sell a bit of Strike King. You know, that's...
Yeah. It's a steady...
Big brand. It's a good, steady seller. But, man, the bass assassin that's going out the door is crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of purples, a lot of glitter colors.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be kind of darker with brighter glitter in it.
Yeah.
Is, you know, whether it's a purple or a black or whatever the colors would be. But darker colors with glitter, you know.
Yeah. A couple of guys have bought some spinner baits this week too. Been doing well, I guess, what they said over there in the Northport canals on them. And
spinner baits?
Yeah. They bought 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, I can't catch fish with a spinner bait, save my life.
I think I've caught 2 bass ever on a spinner bait.
Well, I've caught a couple more than that, but not many. Yeah. But I've actually done better on saltwater fish with spinnerbaits than I have on freshwater fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's harder than hell to catch saltwater fish on a spinnerbait, but I find it easier in catching bass on them. I can catch them on a crankbait, on a worm, on just about anything else but a spinnerbait.
Yeah. Yeah, give me a plastic worm, I can hold my own. Give me a spinnerbait, I'm going to poke myself in the foot with it.
What's the crappie bite doing?
It's been decent, but it's been so warm they've kind of slowed down. It's been a slow, steady pace in a few of the Northport canals, and especially some of the ones up there off of Price Road. My nephew went out the other day, and he struggled. He caught like 8 in about 2 hours of fishing, and he couldn't find the right depth because the first one he caught was at like 18 inches, and the next one he caught was at like 30 inches. So he just couldn't quite find where they were chewing the other day. Because he's been on them pretty decent the last couple of weeks. And they must not be doing too terribly great because I haven't seen Teddy around much.
He's not crappie fishing the way he used to.
No, he's definitely slowed down.
Yeah, he used to be, as soon as there was a chill in the air, Teddy was in the store.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's one of the best crappie fishermen that ever lived.
He called at Christmas time to say Merry Christmas and then said he was going to come in, but I didn't get a chance to see him.
Oh, I've seen him a few times.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times, but...
You know, I guess it's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the ebb and flow of things.
Yep. Ooh, there it is. Okay. Brush size. Brush. Any red dots for tarpon?
No.
Okay, 50-50 yellow dots?
Yeah, Boca Grande Pass, the Intercoastal from Captiva up to Gasparilla Pass.
Okay.
And then,
were you saying there were some big ones being caught?
That guy jumped one and hooked a couple out in front of your place.
Up on the river, okay. Mm-hmm.
But all the majority of what I've been hearing has been right there in Gasparilla Sound.
All right. Any chance of tarpon anywhere?
Out along the beaches right there from Gasparilla down to Captiva because a couple guys have seen them. And with all that bait that's out there along the beach, it wouldn't surprise me if there's more than we know of in there.
All right. Yeah, I think it's actually going to be, you're going to hear some tarpon being caught.
Yeah. 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 Tarpon Rick went out there the other day because he heard about those fish and went out there and managed to stick one in just on the outer edge of the pass. He saw a handful of fish on his bottom machine, but he did manage to put one fish in the air. So he was intentionally targeting them and was successful with it. So that's why it's definitely worth mentioning and putting up, you know, along with Danny and
so
a couple
hard.
Other people.
It's so hard to write 20.
Yeah.
I mean, well, let's face it. I wrote, you know, 01 something or whatever it was, 19 for 62 years. Now
right.
All of a sudden I've got to do 20.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I did it on a warranty box the other day. I put 1920.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm like, really?
Yeah. I gotta load that darn tarpon picture while I'm thinking about it. But it's just weird because, you know, I was partied at the bicentennial, you know.
Right.
People forget that. There was a big party in 1976. It was the bicentennial. And then we did 99 to 2000.
No, that was a trip.
And what's it? This is actually weirder than going from 1999 to 2000 for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, because it was the year 2000. And that was weird because that's 00.
Right.
And then you add 2001, 2002. Right?
Right.
But this one, 2020, it just doesn't, for some reason or another, don't know.
My question is why was it 2001 or 2012, but now that it's 2020, it's 2020?
I don't know.
That was like the politically correct term was 2001, 2019. But now as I hear on the news, it's 2020.
Yeah, you don't hear 2020.
Uh-uh.
That's why.
Who comes up with these? This is the politically correct way to say it this year. What?
Yeah.
I want that job.
Yeah,
let's nitpick little things in life. I want that job.
Yeah.
I do it all day long in my head. I might as well get paid for it. Come on. Where do I apply?
Yeah, I know. I really wish I could figure out how some of this stuff actually works, but I got to tell you, I don't have a clue. Uh-oh. And I listen to the news, and they edit videos to fit whatever, you know, left, right, middle, whatever they're trying to go for. And it's just got to the point now, you're just, okay. Yes, life is strange.
Yes, it is.
To the left, to the right, and in the middle. I don't know. But other than that, the good thing is, here, everything's, we're kind of stuck in 1978, so it ain't going to change very much.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
That's what happens when I own the store.
That's an awesome little bubble.
Yeah, it's an amazing little bubble we don't have to live in out there.
Right.
And, you know, it's just amazing. And every race, religion, political group, I mean, just working here, there's Democrats, liberals, Republicans, independents, conservatives. I mean, we work with so many different people and so many different races. And, you know, I don't know. It's just when you get outside and... I think that's the way most everywhere is. Everybody just kind of gets along. It's not until you get on the TV news that, you know, this group hates that group, and this is a problem, and that's a problem. And it's just like right now with the fishing. If there was a little cloud of red tide came up somewhere, everything's dead, and everything's gone, and it's extreme, everything. And the truth of the matter is, like, right now, it's just what we said at the beginning of the program here. The fishing is good. A few people are having great days, and a few people are having poor days. I'd say the vast majority are having some good days. They're okay. You know, it's fun to go out, you catch some fish, you have a good day. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be wrong to say spectacular in any instance, but I think it's, all in all, I mean, going pretty good.
Yeah.
Weather's kind of nice, you know, and the guy was saying, well, it's going to be a little windy. He says, I'm going to go up on the river. And I said, well, the only time the river's ever bad is if it's thunder and lightning. Right. If it's not, there's no lightning, the river's always good. I mean, you know, it can be blowing 50 miles an hour. You can sit in that river. It ain't going to bother you.
Right. Exactly.
Kind of funny how that works.
Yeah. And it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, I like the river. It's the one thing I wish I could afford to live on the blue-green water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Be able to look out my door and see all that blue-green water, and it'd be so pretty and everything. But, you know, I can afford to live on the brown water, mm-hmm. and I can turn my, when I get out of the canal, I go right, I go to blue water, I go left, I go up the river, and you can go up and go past the sawgrass and the middle areas and into the fresh water, get to the cypress, and you know, it's pretty cool.
It is.
It really is. Have you taken a boat out at all lately?
Not in a couple weeks. Been too windy. Yeah. Every time I wanted to, plus cutting my hand, I'm done for a little bit, possibly getting wet.
Yeah, you don't want to get any bacteria in that cut.
It's healing up really good. Just the one backside closest to the outside of my hand has still got a little festering going on, but it's the good festering.
The good festering.
Well, it's not oozing pus or anything like that, so that's all right.
Robert was trimming a tree in his front yard, and for some reason or other, the blind guy decided that using a chainsaw with his left hand was a really good idea.
Uh-huh.
And so when the branch started falling on him, his right hand went to block his face, and the chainsaw was there. So he's got a pretty good cut in his hand and stitches and stuff, but he's okay.
Yeah, I got unbelievably lucky.
Yeah, everything worked out.
Yeah, a couple stitches is better than anything else. I'd rather have, say, it was a shark or something really cool and manly, but no, it's just me being an idiot.
If it would have been a shark, like, say you were out waiting and you got bit by a shark, you would have soiled every pair of pants you own.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There wouldn't be a pair of pants. The ones in your closet would have gone bad.
Good point.
But, you know, now that I picked on Robert a little bit for that, well, this poor guy. In a boat, he's pretty badass. But, boy, once he gets his little self in the water. Isn't it funny how we get older, we get our own little phobias going on.
Yes, definitely.
And me, I have mine too. I am not, you know, brave and... Well, I'm not a coward and I'm not brave and I'm not a hero and I'm not a villain. You know, sometimes just a little bit of... can be a little bit of all those things sometimes. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. We sure appreciate you. And to all the people all over the world, thank you again. I'm Fish and Frank, and that's Robert over there. Bye, y'all.